did one way, he faced Elijah, and he responded another way. When he faced Obadiah, he had nothing but tolerance and sweet speech and sweet talk. This is the kind of man that never challenges the world. And so the world leaves this kind of Christian alone. Never stands up before it with a nail in its hand and a mallet in the other hand to impale this kind of Christian to the cross. This kind of Christian is convenient. He lives and dies in comfort. He knows tolerance from the world because he never challenges it. Then there's the other kind, Elijah. He's intolerable. He's unpalatable. The world cannot put up with him. He's too much like Jesus in standing face to face with the world. I want to close by telling you what Jesus said about this. And friends, if you still have any question, I just want to ask you to listen to him, that's all. And see what you think. Give a favorable hearing to what Jesus said. I have never heard in my life more challenging and demanding and impugning and indicting and convicting words than these when they were leveled by Jesus at a great portion of his disciples in that day. He said, "The world cannot hate you." I want you to just absorb that. The world cannot hate you. Now, he wasn't smiling when he said that. The world cannot hate you, but me it can hate, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. And that's the reason in the closing portion of the Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven." Now, do you dare let me close by being negative about that? You ought to be sad, dear Christian, when men never revile you, when they never persecute you, when they never say any manner of evil against you falsely for my sake, because you're going to stand unrewarded. I wonder if we're so anemic as Christians that we really believe today that there's going to be no difference among us when it's all said and done with regard to the way we've responded to Jesus Christ. There are many Christians among us so given up to the tokens of comfort and convenience today that no matter what happened, they could not speak. And no matter what happened, they could not muster courage and strength to stand for Christ. That no matter what issue was at stake, they'd just have to give up and have everything about themselves burned up in the day of judgment just because they could not stand. I want to ask you to do what this passage does. Let's just leave Obadiah and Elijah face to face. And I want to ask you a concluding question. When it gets right down to the Elijah and the Obadiah on the other hand, or the Elijah and the Ahab on the other hand, which one is the more royal man of the two? Is it that fellow wearing a camel's hair loincloth who has the signs of rejection and being outcast from society? Is it him, or is it the man pulling warmly around himself his royal skirts and royal robes and unable to identify with any moral or spiritual cause whatsoever? What kind of Christian are you? What kind am I? When the chips are really down, if all the cause of God in the earth depended on me, could I produce or no? Maybe there's somebody here tonight without Christ. You don't know Jesus. Now, the issues have been stern and straightly placed before us tonight. They've been narrow in their confines, but I'll not fool you. I'll not kid you. This is what Jesus invites you to. He invites you to come apart and be separate. That no matter who laughs, you stand. And no matter who judges, you stand. That no matter who advances an assault, you stand. And you've already settled it by dying to yourself. And when that happens, nobody can hurt you no matter what they do, because death cannot be disturbed by anything. The Holy Spirit speaks to your heart. If you're without Christ, I dare you this evening just to open all the wings of your inner spirit, all the places of approach to your inner life, and invite Jesus Christ to come in, to be everything He wants to be, everything you need on the inside of what you are. And then whatever else God puts in your heart to do, we want to ask you to settle that and do that as we come to our time of commitment and decision and invitation this evening. We're going to stand in a moment to sing. Our choir is going to sing our hymn of invitation. And as they quietly sing before us, and God speaks through the invitation hymn and the singing of it, I want to ask you to do what God puts in your heart to do. If there's that level of compromise in you that you know needs to be settled, the prayer altar waits for anybody who'd like to pray, to kneel with your knees touching the floor and just to do business with Jesus. Do what God puts in your heart to do this evening. I'm going to ask that we stand together and bow our heads and close our eyes. And the choir is going to begin to sing. And as they sing and Christians pray, we wait on God just a few moments. Just do what God puts in your heart to do. And let Him have His way in your life. And come, the choir sings.